Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches. We begin two lines from the top, Chav Ches Amud Aleph, with the Braisa. Tana Rabban, we learn the following din in the Braisa. Ma'isa B'Rabbi Eliezer. Yesterday we were talking about a lot of shitas of Rabbi Eliezer. We disagree with the Chachamim, and today we're going to see how great Rabbi Eliezer was, and we have a couple of stories about Rabbi Eliezer. Tana Rabban, Ma'isa B'Rabbi Eliezer, Sheshovas B'Golul Ha'Elyon. One time, Rabbi Eliezer spent the Shabbos in the Galil HaElyon, the upper Galil. Usheluhu shloshim halachos b'hilchus sukkah. They asked him 30 shailas in regarding hilchus sukkah. Shteim esrei amalem shamati. 12 of them he said, I heard from my Rebbeim. Yesterday we discussed how Rabbi Eliezer never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbeim. He always said over what he heard from his Rebbeim, and only that. He wouldn't say over halacha on his own unless he heard it from his Rebbeim. So the first version of this is that 12 of those halachos he was able to respond to. He said, this is what my Rebbe said. And the other 18, shmono asar amalhem lo shamati. The other 18, he didn't have a Masorah from his Rebbe, and therefore he didn't want to tell him what the halacha is. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda had it a little bit different. He said, Omer, Chilaf Advarim, the opposite. Shmona Tzorah, Malhem Shmati. 18 of the halachos he heard from his Rebbe, and therefore he told him what the answer was. And Shteim Esrei, the other 12, Amalem Lo Shmati. I never heard from my Rebbe, and therefore I'm not going to tell you. Amar Lo, so they were surprised. The people in the Galil HaOyon said to him, Kol Dvarecha, Einon Ella, Mipi HaShmua. Rashi says, Losh of Bismia. What? You never say anything on your own. You only say what you heard from your Rebbeim. That's not such a great thing. You know, you should spend more time being able to figure out the din yourself. Some of them, he said, no, it's not because of that. His kaktuni lo ma'adova shalo shamati mihi rabosei. Rashi explains, this is my custom. Agid lochem es midosei. I will tell you my personal habits. V'zuach asmihem, and this is one of them. And miyamai, all of my lifetime, lo kidomani odom the Beis Medrash. Nobody ever came before me to the Beis Medrash. I'm always the first one in the Beis Medrash. V'lo yoshanti b'Beis Medrash, lo shinas kevel, lo shinas arai. And I don't fall asleep in the Beis Medrash. I certainly am entitled to, as a Talmud Chacham who spends time in the Beis Medrash, you are allowed to take a little nap in the Beis Medrash, but I do not. I go lifnei Mishur Sadin. I don't sleep even a shinas arai, never mind the shinas keva. I don't sleep in the Beis Medrash. I spend all my time there learning. Lo yinachti odom the Beis Medrash yotzasi. And I never was the first one to leave the Beis Medrash. I was always the last one to leave the Beis Medrash. So please understand that I could tell you what the halacha is based on my own understanding, but my personal custom is that I never say anything unless I heard it from my Rebbe. Lo sachti sichas chulin. And when I'm in the Beis Medrash, I don't spend time talking with my chavrusa. I don't spend time wasted in the Beis Medrash. I'm sitting and learning all day long. Lo amati dovash lo shamati mipi Rebbe miola. And my custom is I never say anything over unless I heard it from my Rebbe. That's my custom. I only transmit the Mesorah from my Rebbe. I don't mechadish anything on my own. So therefore, it's not because of a lack of effort on my part that I don't tell you what these halachas are. It's just I have a custom. I only say over what I heard from my Rebbe. And he got this from his Rebbe. His Rebbe was the great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And Amar Olav, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, had the same custom. They said about him, Miyamav lo soch sichas chulin. In his time, when he was in the Beis Medrash, he never spent time wasted talking sichas chulin. Below lo alach arba amos, below Torah, below tefillin. And he never walked dalet amos without learning out loud, as we'll see in a moment, and below tefillin, and without wearing his tefillin. Below kedomo odom beis medrash, and nobody ever beat him to the Beis Medrash. He was always the first one in the Beis Medrash. Below yosham beis medrash, loshinas kevel, loshinas arai. And likewise, even though he was entitled to sleep in the Beis Medrash as a Talmud Chacham, he didn't even sleep a shinas arai, never mind a shinas kevel in the Beis Medrash. And furthermore, below hirer bevavuos hametunafos, he didn't even think Torah in the dirty areas where you're not allowed to learn Torah, you're not allowed to speak Torah, and there is an opinion that says you're not allowed to think Torah. Now, he actually held otherwise, but he was mocha, his own opinion, to go and follow the opinion of his chaverim, not to think Torah in the Mavolos HaPetunofos. Now, you might think that's not such a big deal. Baruch Hashem, many of us are able to manage not thinking Torah a lot of times of the day. So the chiddush is that for a great tzaddik like Yochanan Zakkai, that was a very difficult thing to do. And elsewhere, the Gemara tells us, that Ben Yehuda brings down, that there were other great Talmidei Chachamim that apologized and said, what can I do? I'm regular in learning Torah. I can't stop learning Torah, even when I'm in a place where you're not allowed to say Torah, so they would only think Torah, but they wouldn't say Torah, but they couldn't stop themselves. So the greatness of Yochanan Zakkai was that even as difficult as it was, he forced himself not to think Torah when he was walking in these mavos, hametunofos, these alleyways that were unclean, and they were usher to speak Torah, and possibly usher to even think Torah there. So he was Lifnei Mishur Sadin as well, forcing himself successfully not to even think Torah, even though he personally held it was okay. Furthermore, he never left early. He was always the last one to leave the Beis Medrash. Finally, nobody ever saw him sitting silently. They only saw him sitting and learning. Now, this the chiddush is over here that even when he was sitting, he never was just sitting, stop wasting his time. But he wouldn't even sit silently. He would always learn Torah out loud, which is the ideal way that one should learn Torah. And in this way, he went lifnei again, Mishur HaSadin. Furthermore, he didn't wait for other people to open the door for his Tamidim. The Ben Yod and others bring down that they would lock the Beis Medrash at night. It was dangerous. The Beis Medrash was often out in the fields, so they would keep it locked. And the Shomer would have gone home, or he was at supper, whatever it may have been. So he would rush to open the door for the Tamidim. Wouldn't let anybody else do that. And again, here he has the custom which his Talmud Rabbi Elezer followed, that he wouldn't say over anything on his own. He only said over Torah that he heard from his Rebbeim. He wouldn't be mechadish his own things. And finally, he never said that it's time to stop learning. And as a result, he would always be the last one to leave the Beis Medrash. Chutz mi'arvei psochem. The only two times he said it's now time to stop learning was chutz mi'arvei psochem v'arvei yom ha'kippur. On Erev Pesach, he would stop learning, as Rashi brings down in that situation, everybody had to go home and make the Korban Pesach. So he would also make sure that the children, the people in the Beis Medrash, should go home and make sure their children took a nap on Erev Pesach at noon so they would stay up for the Seder. And why on Arvei Yom Kippurim did he go home? So Rashi brings down, because they had to go and eat before the day. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So he wanted to make sure that everybody fulfilled that mitzvah and everybody prepared to be ready for the fast. And these were his personal customs. I just saw an interesting anecdote. I said it over in the past. For those that have heard this, it's good to hear it again, I think. I remember I was in Camp Tar Vadas as a young camper. It made a very big roshim on me. They used to announce, learning never ends, but learning groups are now over. And that's the idea. He never, ever said, Higia Islam will be based on that. It's never appropriate to say, now you don't have to learn. You finished learning for the day. Baruch Hashem, I did the Dafyomi. I'm done for the day with learning. No, that's not the right attitude. Again, we may not have a lot of time sometimes. We're busy working. We're busy making parnasa. We have other obligations. So we understand that sometimes we can't learn as much as we ideally would like to. But the idea is learning groups are now over, but learning never ends. That's a critically important idea. In any event, this was the Hanhagos of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Chenu Yer Rabbi Eliezer Talmido, his great Talmud Rabbi Eliezer, Noah Gachrum, fulfilled these same types of Hanhagos. He followed his Rebbe. I thought this in and of itself is very interesting. He wasn't mechadish anything from his Rebbe. He didn't say, well, I think I should do it this way, I should do it that way. He followed even the Hanhagos of his Rebbe, never mind only saying over the Torah of his Rebbe. Very interesting. Okay, another b'risa. Tana Rabbanon. Now we're going to talk about how great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was. Shmonim Talmidim Hayulo Hillel Hazokin. Hillel Hazokin had 80 Talmidim, 80 special Talmidim. And we divide these Talmidim up in three groups. All of them are unbelievably great. Shlosh Mehem, the top 30 of these 80 Talmidim. Ruuyim Shetishu Aleim Shechina. They were worthy of having the Shechina upon them. Now, some are not goris the words Kemosha Rabbeinu because Lokom B'Yisrael Kemosha Od, but others are goris this because it's just saying in some way they were like Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were worthy of having the Shechina upon them. Lav Davka, they were worthy to have the same level of the Shechina show on them like Moshe Rabbeinu. In any event, the 30 top Talmidim was Zochah to be Nevi'im. They were Zochah to have the Shechina rest upon them. However, Nebuch, the generation, didn't allow them to do so. And as a result, we find many places in the Gemara that says that so-and-so should have been a Navi, except the generation had sunk to such a low level that they weren't worthy of the generation of having a Navi. In any event, the top 30 were unbelievably great on the level of having the Shechina be Shorah on them. Ushlosh Mehem, the, quote, bottom 30, sure be zochah to be in the bottom 30 like this. They were as great as the time of Yoshua ben Nun. They were zochah to have the sun stop. Yoshua ben Nun, a nes occurred, that the sun stopped for him in order that he could finish the battle. And these bottom 30 Talmidim were on that level as well. And then the 20 in between Talmidim, Esrim Benunim, Godo Shabakulun Yonim Zenoziel, Kotu Shabakulun, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So the simple way to read this is, considering these 20 middle Talmidim, Yonasan ben Uzziel was the greatest of them, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the least of these middle 20 Talmidim. That's how great all of these Tanoim were. Now, others say that no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the lowest of all 80, and Yonasan ben Uzziel was the greatest of all 80. In any event, it's not in any way meant to, in the slightest sense, put Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai down, because we're going to see how great he was. In any event, Amru Olav Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who was considered, quote, the Katan Shiva Kulan, he was the least amongst them. Now, It could have been also he was younger at that time, and everybody else was older than him at that time. In any event, Yochanan Zakkai was the leader of Klal Yisrael for 120 years. He lived to be 120. First 40 years, like Rabbi Akiva, he wasn't a great Talmud Chacham. And then for the next 40 years, he learned. The next 40 years, he was a leader of Klal Yisrael. So we're dealing with one of the greatest individuals of all time. And yet he was considered Katan Shibakulan, either the smallest of the middle 20 or the smallest of all 80, the Tamidim of Hillel HaZakkai. So it says Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Shlo Yiniach, he didn't leave behind unstudied and unknown Mikra or Mishnah. That's normally translated as Chumash and the Mishnayis, Gemara, that's all the what we would call the Gemara, all the back and forth, the Shaka V'Taya, discussing the Mishnayis, Halachos, then the Halacha L'Maisa, the Agados, all the various other parts of the Gemara, the Agados that are very deep and important ideas that the greatest Gedolim, like Yochanan Zakkai, really fully understood. We read them as interesting stories and don't understand them. He understood what Chazal were being transmitting from generation to generation. I mentioned many times that the Agados contains things that weren't meant for the Hamonam. They were only meant for the Gedolim of each generation to really fully comprehend and understand. In any event, he understood all of that. And he knew Dikduke Torah, Dikduke Sofrim. What is that? So Rashi tells us that Dikduke Torah is Ribui Oisios, the extra words, letters in a word. Shabon Lidrosh Bam, that we have drushes of them. Ribuyim Umiutim, for Kagon Ha'ezrach. We're going to have later in today's year the word Ezrach and then Ha'ezrach. We're going to make various drushos on that. And we'll see this later in the Shia. Shadiktika Torah Belashona. The Torah is very obviously precise in writing either a word with an extra letter or without a letter. So that's called Diktuke Torah. What are Diktuke Sofrim? Shosifu Rashi says, Ledaktik Achamaisa Habrios. Ulahachmev Laso Siog Yosnaim LaTorah. These are the additional things that the rabbis put into place, the various Gedorim that the rabbis said, the Gezeros, in order to keep a person away from doing Averis. Fine. Then it tells us more about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that he knew all the Kalim, the Chamurim, he knew all the Kavachomers, Ugzeri Shavos, and he also knew all the Ugzeri Shavos. The Kavachomers you can dash on your own, if it's logical, and the Ugzeri Shavos, that's all Mekubim and Shemaim. You can't make up your own Ugzeri Shavos. And he also knew Tekufos. He knew how to calculate whether you should have an Iber Chodesh, we should have a month that's Mali, a month that's Chaser, or you should have a year that should be extended to have another base. The Gematrios, he knew all the Gematrios. Rashi says it's not just the simple Gematrios of calculating, like for a Nazir that we have in a Smachta, that a Nazir, because it says Yiyah. So we learn out that the Stam Nazir is a Shloshim Yom from the Gematria of Yiyah, which is 2 yuds and 2 hay. So that's 2 yuds is 2 times 10, it's 20, and 2 hay is 2 times 5 is 10, 10, 20 is 30. So Stam Nazir is Shloshim Yom. But not only that, he says all the Atbashes that we sometimes have Gematrias in all different formats. So he knew all of those. And he knew Sichas Malachei HaShoreis, Vesichas Shedim, Vesichas Dekolim. And the greatness of Rashi, Rashi says, Lo Yodana Mahi. I always say this is the most important Rashi in all Shas. Rashi isn't afraid to say that he didn't know. And again, in the Source of Shas, he always points out that there are many, many other places, there are 26 places in all Shas where Rashi puts this point down for us to know. So if Rashi says something 26 times in Shas, right, he could have just left this out. He didn't have to comment on it. But Rashi wants us to know that it's okay to say, I don't know something. No, others do explain what the Sichas Malachi Ashari is, Sichas Shedim, and the Sichas Dekolim is. And some of the Mepharshim explain that the Sichas Shedim is the secrets or the hidden stuff, that medical stuff that the Shedim knew. And the Sichas Dekolim, that's like Shlomo HaMelech was able to understand all the, even the voices of the animals and of the trees even, and the Oruch brings down that you shouldn't speak idle stuff in your house. So that's a reference over here to all the Sicha that they're referring to. Okay, in any event, he also knew Mishalos Kovsin, Mishalos Shualim. He knew all the sorts of various types of Mishalim, the parables that the Chazal used to get across certain messages in regards to a certain character, ideals and attributes and all sorts of mishalim. So they often gave them in the form of mishalim in regards to launderers or in regards to foxes. So he knew that. And he knew Dover Godol v'Dover Katan. He knew everything. What does it mean, Dover Godol v'Dover Katan? So the Gemara says, Dover Godol, that means he knew the Maisa Merkava. That's something that only Yechidim, only very rare individuals, were able to learn and understand. So he was able to do that. And Dover Katan, that doesn't mean it's a minor thing. It means relative to the Davar Gadol, it's a Davar Katan, and that's the Havayis, the Abaye V'Rava. As Rashi says, Kol Iboy Elohu, L'Abaye V'Rava, Hava Masafka Elohu. So all the questions that Abaye and Rava raised, Kula Nosan Eslibo, V'Nosan V'Hem Tam. He was able to figure out all of the Shalos that Abaye and Rava later on will have a Shakal B'Tayi on, and couldn't always come to a conclusion. U'B'Yimei Amorayim Nishtakul, and he was a Tana, so he knew the answers. And later on, Abaye and Rava, when they were Amoraim, so some of these things were forgotten. And they, through the Shakal V'Tayya, they tried to recreate all of those things that were previously known to the Tanoim. Now, why is Gemara telling us all of these things about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, about Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says, L'kayim Hashanema, this has come to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be, as brought down in the Pasuk that we have in Mishlei, L'hanchil Ohav Yesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually give 310 worlds. The Gemara darshans the word Yesh in a number of places, and it's the last Mishnah in Uksin. It also darshans this, that Yesh is 310 worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to the great Tzadikim, the Yotzusim Amali, and I will fill up their share in the world to come. They will have unbelievable reward for people like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, Gemara concludes over here and says, "V'chi me'achash shekotet shebekulam kach." If Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is the smallest of either the middle 20 or of all 80, so imagine how great the greatest one was. So Gadol shebekulam, which was Yonas ben Uziel, he was the greatest of the middle 20, or he's the greatest of all of them. How great must he have been? Kama Gadol shebekulam alachas kama v'kama. How much greater he was than even Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And they in fact said, Amru Lova Yonas ben Uziel, they said about this great Tana Yonas ben Uziel, Bishosh Yoshev Ozi Bitorah, while he was sitting and learning Torah, if a bird were to fly over them, Kolovsha Pareach Olav, Miat Nisraf would be burned. Tosus explains, this was like the Torah being given on Har Sinai, that there was the Eish, it was given with fire. So the greatness of Yonas ben Uziel was that when he was learning, there was such a great Hasmada, such great Torah learning, that anything that flew over him would be burned up, so to say, in his Hasmada. So I once heard from my Rebbeim. So if this was Yonas ben Uziel, imagine how great Hillel was. These were the Talmidim of Hillel. Imagine how great Hillel was. So my Rebbe said that what would have happened if Hillel was learning and a bird passed over them? So he said nothing would happen to the bird. So the greatness of Hillel, even over Yonas ben Uziel, would be that Hillel could control his learning. And I thought it was always analogous to the great Maisa with Rav Shimon Yochai and his son Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, when they were in the cave, and after they came out of the cave after 12 years, so Rav Elazar Rav Shimon couldn't tolerate anybody not learning Torah, and wherever he looked, he burned. And his great father, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, corrected whatever his son burned. So it's even greater not to burn than it is to burn. To be able to control that is an even greater midah than to just have this unbelievable midah that Yonas ben Uziel had, that the Torah was so fiery and burning from him, but it was not as well controlled as Hillel Hazaki. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. We've actually learned this Mishnah previously in the Masecht already, and we begin as follows. Mishaya Rosh of Ruba Sukkah. If a person has his head and most of his body in the Sukkah, which we said is in and of itself 6 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim, or possibly 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim, and then Vishulchan or Besocha Bais, and then he has the Shulchan, which is a Tefach by a Tefach, so this Shulchan is not in the Sukkah, the Shulchan is in the house. So in this situation, Beis Shammai says, no, the minimum size of a Sukkah has to be 7 by 7 Tvachim, it has to be able to include the Shulchan as well. Beisil says, no, as long as you can have Rosh over Rubo Besukkah, 6 by 6 or 6 by 7 Tvachim, so then it would be acceptable. Even though the table is in the house, we're not concerned. Beis Hillel says that you'll draw yourself in to the house where the food is and not eat in the sukkah. So this is a famous machlos between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and we in fact paskin like Beis Shammai. Amalim Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Lo kachoy a maisa. After all, I'll show you that we're right, because the ones with such a maisa, shahochu, ziknei Beis Shammai, vizikne Beis Hillel, that both the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the zakenim of both of these groups, went to visit Levakiris Rav Yochanan ben Achoranis. They went to go see the great Gadol Rav Yochanan ben Achoranis, and he was sitting in exactly such a sukkah. Umitzoh sheyoshev rosh of Ruba sukkah. He had his head and most of his body in the sukkah. It was a very small sukkah, mistama, or it was a larger sukkah, and that's where he was sitting. Vishulchanam b'sel chabayis. But the shulchan wasn't in the sukkah. The shulchan was in the bayis. Now, we have the girsa here. Not everybody agrees that we have this girsa, but we have the girsa of the lo amru lo dover. And Beis Shammai, the zakenim of Beis Shammai, they didn't say to Rav Yochanan ben Achoranis, according to Beis Hillel, anything. In other words, they seem to indicate by their silence, shtika ki hodah, they didn't say anything. So therefore, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, how can you say that it's not a kosher sukkah? This is the Canaan of Beis Shammai. Say that they didn't say anything to Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoraneis, and therefore it must be that it was a good sukkah. Amar Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, really? Misham Raya? That's what you think is the Raya? You're mistaken. Afheim Amrulo. In fact, the Zekanim of Beis Shammai did in fact tell this Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoraneis that you're not Yotze. Im Kein Yisa Noig, Lo Kiyam the Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. If in fact this is the way you've been sitting in a sukkah, you've never been Yotze the Mitzvah of Sukkah because you're not sitting in a kosher sukkah. Again, famous Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And the Mishnah continues and says, Noshim, women, Bavadim and Eved Kanani, Uktanim, and children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, Peturmin or Sukkah, have no requirement to sit in the Sukkah. Again, those allowed to, but there's no requirement for them to sit in the Sukkah. Katan, Shainu Enu Tzorach Leimo, Chayv Sukkah. But a Katan that doesn't need his mother is obligated to go sit in the Sukkah. So first we say Katanim Peturmin or Sukkah, but then we qualify that and we say, depends on the age of the Katan. If the Katan has reached the age where he no longer needs his mother, which the Gemara will explain what age that is, a person always needs their mother. And I always like to point out the tremendous zuchus I had to have my parents, and Hashem should give them an aliyah from all of the learning that I do. It's all in their zuchus. So in any event, Katan Sheino Tzorach Leimo, Chayv Sukkah, but if the child has reached the age, he doesn't need his mother every second, as the Gemara will define what that means. So then, that child, als chinuch, should be taught to sit in the sukkah with his father. Gemara then tells us, a ma'isa shahaya. Now, this looks like it's a ma'isa listor. The Gemara is going to ask this. Normally, you bring down halacha, and then you bring a ma'isa to support it. You don't bring a ma'isa to argue against it. So we'll say that there's a chisura mechsura over here. In any event, right now we have the ma'isa listor. Ma'isa, once there was such a situation, the older kalosu shoshama yazoke, the daughter-in-law of Shammai Yazoke, the great Shammai. So his daughter-in-law had a baby, mazel tov, and she just gave birth, so she wasn't able to leave her bed. So what did he do? He made an opening over the bed where she was sleeping in the house, and he constructed a sukkah over there. He made a kosher sukkah. And for the little baby, this brand new baby that was just born, he felt, Shammai Yazoken felt that such a baby was also mechuyav in the mitzvah of sukkah, which obviously contradicts what we just said. So it's only a katan that doesn't need the mother. This brand new baby obviously needed the mother, and yet Shammai did otherwise, and the Gemara will explain what this story is teaching us. Gemara starts off and says, Minohani mili, how do we know that Noshim are indeed pturos from the mitzvah of sukkah? So Gemara says, the Tanur Rabbanim. We learn in the Braisa the following drasha on this pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Basukos teshu shivas yamim. We've gone through that pasuk many times. And then it says, Kol ha ezrach bi yisrael yeshu basukos. Every ezrach. We also have this pasuk. We dashed in this pasuk a few days ago as well. So kol ha ezrach bi yisrael yeshu basukos. And here we dash in the word ezrach. Ezrach implies ze ezrach, that includes everybody, men and women, all inclusive term. But the hey, when you add the word kol ha ezrach, so that comes to be a miut. Ha ezrach is lahotzi es anoshim. The word ezrach alone would include men and women, all citizens. However, when you add the hey, that comes to be mamayit es anoshim. I kol ha ezrach. What does that come to be marbe? The word kol is a ribui. Kol is larabos es aktana. That's to include the children who are reaching the age that they don't need their mother, so they are obligated in sukkah. So that's how the Braisa Darshan's is possible. Kol ha ezrach bi Yisrael. Ha is coming to be mamayit, women from the word ezrach, which they normally would be included, and kol is coming to be marba ketanim. That's the drasha of the Braisa, and now we'll dissect it. Omamar. We just said, ha ezrach, the extra hey, the word ezrach, is coming, lahotzi es anoshim. It's coming to be mamayit noshim for the mitzvah sukkah. Gemara questions this. Gemara says, that implies that the word ezrach normally would include men and women. And it's only because it says ha ezrach that it comes to be mamayit women. Is that really true? Lememra, de ezrach, the word ezrach by itself, includes ben noshim, ben gabri, mashma, it includes men and women. That's the default position. But I'll show you otherwise in a braisa. For Tanya, now, we don't have in our Torah or this pasuk. Rashi does bring the pasuk down. And in some of the newer Gemaras, they actually have a Torah or over here, that's the real Oz Gimel, and what we have is Oz Gimel in many Gemaras, and is really Oz Dalet in the newer Gemaras that are, often correcting some of the mistakes that the old Vilna Shas had. In any event, Rashi brings down the pasuk, Tanu es nafsho sechem, v'chol melocha lo sasu ho'ezrach v'hager. Now, this is talking about Yom Kippur. Tanu es nafsho sechem, we just went through Yuma not that long ago, so it's talking about the requirement to have inui on Yom Kippur with the five inuyim. And you can't do malach as well. And it says, who should do this? ha-ezrach v'hager. This comes to be including ha-ezrach v'hager. So the Brisa says, "Vatanya ha-ezrach." What is the word ha-ezrach coming to, by the extra hay, coming to teach us? L'rabos es hanoshim ha-ezrachios, to include women in this din of inoy, shechayavos be-inoy. Now, if the default position is that ezrach alone includes women, so then ha-ezrach, we're saying here, comes to exclude women, but in this drasha, in this Brisa, ha-ezrach is coming to be married by women because ezrach does not include women. Alma, ezrach, gavri mashva. This brisa clearly is at odds with the way we just dived in the brisa here in Sukkah. This brisa about Yom Kippur is the exact opposite. Our brisa again says ezrach is men and women. Ha-ezrach comes to exclude the women. And that brisa said ezrach is just men, and ha-ezrach is coming to be married by women. So the word ezrach has a totally different meaning, and ha-ezrach in Sukkah is a miyut, and ha-ezrach in Yom Kippur is a ribui. What's going on? So Gemara says, I'm a rabba. You're right. Hilchas Aninu. This is a halacha Moshe Misinai. The base din of the pasuk is a certain way, which Gemara will explain in a moment what that way is. And there's a halacha Moshe Misinai that is involved over here as well to come to take it out from the base way that we normally darshan it. V'yasmachinu rabbanan akrai. And the rabbis use this just as an asmachta on these psukim over here, but that's not the real drasha in one of the two cases. Gemara says, Haikra Vayuchasa. Which one of the two? We have Sukkah and Yom Kippur. Which one of them is the Halacha Moshe Misinai? And which one of them is the actual Pasuk used as the Drasha? Furthermore, why do you even need this? This whole question of one of them is Halacha Moshe Misinai seems to be not necessary, because Vesu Kra Lomeli, Hilchasa Lomeli. Why do I need a Pasuk telling me the base din? And why do I need a different Halacha Moshe Misinai telling me not to follow the base din in one of these two? After all, both of these two dinim, by Sukkos and by Yom Kippur, we would know the din themselves for women and by Yom Kippur and Sukkos based upon the normal principles that we have, which the Gemara is now going to question and outline. Ha Sukkah, by Sukkah, I shouldn't need any pasuk telling me about women. Sukkah is a mitzvah seishas man grama. B'chol mitzvah seishas man grama noshim b'turos. Why would I have any havamina to think that women are required to sit in a sukkah? You're only required to sit in a sukkah during Sukkos. Therefore, it's a time-dependent mitzvah seishas. And women are exempt from time-dependent mitzvah seishas. Why do we need a halacha? Why do we need a pasuk to tell me this? And furthermore, Yom HaKippurim, some of the gears of the Bach says V'Yom HaKippurim, because it's a separate idea. V'Yom HaKippurim, why do we need a Pasuk or a Halacha L'Moshe Misina for that as well? Because after all, Rav Yehuda Amarav Nafka, we learned this out from what Rav Yehuda Amarav said. What was that? Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Yehuda Sene Amarav, and also V'Chein Tana Dvei Rav Yishmol. They learned the basement of Rav Yishmol. The Pasuk tells us in general, men and women are included in all Isurim Da'araisa. Anything that is a negative commandment, women are included in. Amakra, the Pasuk says, Ish O Isha. Kiyasu, the rest of the pasuk is Kiyasu b'kol chatos hodam, that through a negative commandment, limo mal b'ashem, v'oshmo hanefesh shahi, and that nefesh will be responsible. So, we turn to the Omud Beis, Chav Ches Omud Beis. This pasuk clearly equates men and women in regards to a mitzvah lo sase, hishva kosev ish, so this is a punishment in the Torah. Women are obligated in all negative commandments. Again, there are three minor exceptions to this. Two of them in regards to cutting facial hair, pas, payis, and one in regards to tumah for a woman who is a daughter of a Kohen. She's not mukhayevis to prevent herself from becoming tummy of tumah smeis. But other than that, all punishments in the Torah, all negative commands in the Torah apply equally to men and women based upon this pasuk. So why would I need a pasuk to tell me that women are included in the inuyim of Yom Kippur? And why would I need a pasuk to tell me that women are excluded from the mitzvah of Sukkah? These are basic principles that we have. So two questions again. Why is one a halacha? Which one is the halacha? Which one is the pasuk? And then why do we need either one of them? So Amar Abaye answers as follows. La'olam sukkah hilchasa. In fact, the din that's halacha l'moshe misinai, that women are exempt from a sukkah, is halacha l'moshe misinai. And you can't learn it out from the normal rules of mitzvahs man grama, women are exempt. Why is that? Vitzruch. You need to tell me this over here. The halacha l'moshe misinai, because it would be an exception to the rule. Because I might have thought, so kudai techaminoch, the pasuk we just had, teshu, which is teshu, that you have to live in the sukkah, kein taduru. So just like a person lives in the sukkah with his wife, I might have thought that even though women are normally exempt from time-dependent mitzvahs, this would be different. Ma dira ish v'ishto, af sukkah ish v'ishto. So just like in a house, a man and a woman live together, so too in the sukkah, I might have thought that a man and a woman live together. So even though one would have the havamina, because it's a mitzvah man groma, to say women are exempt, I would have included women because of teshu, kein taduru. Kamash ulam, that's why we need that loch l'mosh misinai to tell me that women are in fact exempt from Sukkah, even though we had a havamina to say that they should be included. Ah, very good. That's why Abaye says we need the halacha l'moshe misinai to teach us the din by Sukkah. Rav Amar, a different reason. Rav says you need the halacha Moshe Sinai to teach us that women are exempt from sukkah because of the following. Itzrich, because sukkah daita chaminach. I would have had a havi minute to say, Yoluv chamish osa mechag hamatzos. The famous Derech Shavuot that we had, chamish osa, it says, by matzos, you have to eat the matzos on the night of chamish osa. And it says chamish osa by sukkah. So therefore, I would have said, malahal nashim chayavos, avkan nashim chayavos. Just like women are obligated to eat matzah, so too, women should be obligated to sit in the sukkah because of this Gezerah Shava. Kamash Malan, then it's not true. So we have two reasons, one Abaya, one Rava, why women, I might have had a Havimina to think that the normal rules of Mitzvah Seishas Magrama don't apply over here, and therefore we need the Halacha Moshe Misinai to tell us that women are exempt from sukkah. Great. The Gemara says, V'hashto d'yamar sukkah hilchah, so now that you're telling me that Halacha Moshe Misinai is by sukkah, so kral lomeli, why do we need the Pasuk, Ho Ezrach, in regards to sukkah? It's Halacha Moshe Misinai, so why do I have a Pasuk there at all? So therefore, we need the hey of Ho Ezrach l'rabos es hagerim. That comes to teach us that a convert is also obligated in sukkah. I might have thought otherwise. Salkudai techaminoch Ho Ezrach bi Yisrael. The pasuk tells me Ho Ezrach bi Yisrael is required to sit in the sukkah. Amar Rachmona. And therefore, I might have thought v'lo es hagerim. That excludes gerim. You have to be a born Jew as opposed to a converted Jew. Kamash v'la. No. Therefore, Ho Ezrach is necessary by sukkah to teach us this principle for the gerim. I don't need it to tell me anything about women because the default position would be that women are excluded. There's a hav amina, either abaya or rova, to say that women should be included. That's why I need halacha Moshe Misinai to tell me that women are in fact truly exempt. Very good. What about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippurim, mizrahudam rav nafka. Why do I need anything by Yom Kippur? We can learn that out from the principle that women are obligated in all punishments in the Torah if they do, Rachmana Litzlan, the transgression. So therefore, there is a Isser of Kares if you don't fulfill the Inuyim, at least some of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur. So therefore, why would I need a special either Pasuk or Halacha Moshe Misinai to tell me anything about women in Yom Kippur? Shmuel says, no, there is a need for it as well. Lo Nitzucho Ela L'Tosefes Inuy. You need to tell me that the Tosefes period of time of Yom Kippur, you're supposed to add on a little bit before and a little bit afterwards. Now, there is no punishment involved. Chazal tell us that there is no punishment for the Tosefes Yom Kippurim. It's only for Yom Kippur, for the Inurim, that there's a chi of punishment. So, Sal Kudai Techamir might have thought that since Ho'el Umiyat Rachmon L'Tosefes Inuy Me'onesh Umeyasara, since there is no technically any punishment for the Tosefes period of time, so therefore I would have said, Lo Nischaivu Noshim Klal. Women should not be included at all. That's why I need the Pasuk. The baseline is Ezrach excludes women. Ho Ezrach by Yom Kippur comes to include women. I need a special pasuk to come to include the women by the din of Yom Kippur because it would have been half a minute to say that by Tosefes Yom Kippurim they're not included. You're right. By Yom Kippur itself, we would know that because Hishva Kosav Isha Li'ish L'chol Onshim V'Torah. So for the Yom Kippur itself, fine, I wouldn't need any pasuk. But Ho Ezrach comes to be Mar Ben Noshim to Tosefes Yom Kippurim, which I wouldn't have known because there is no Onish involved. Mark continues and says, Omamar, kol, we had the extra word, kol ho ezrach, we said it was l'rabos esaktanim. Mark says, wait a second, what, not noshim avod v'ktanim, p'turim min asukah. But we just added the previous statement that k'tanim are p'turim min asukah. So now you're telling me that kol is l'marv v'ktanim, what's going on? So I already gave the answer to this, and here's where I got it from, the Gemara. Lokasha, kam b'kotu shigei l'chinuch, kam b'kotu shlo gei l'chinuch. It depends on the age of the child. A very, very young child that doesn't understand anything, so there's no obligation whatsoever, even al chinuch, to go and teach this child anything. And therefore, he doesn't have to go into the sukkah. Or as a child that's older, it's a 7-year-old child, 8-year-old child. Right? We always have a machlokas as to what is the age of chinuch. It depends on the child, bottom line. Normally it's around 5 to 6. Some are very precocious, could be earlier. Some are not so quick and fast, so it could be later. But in any event, that's the distinction between the first part of the Mishnah that says that the Peturim, that's talking about a very young child, not yet reached the age of chinuch. And then when the Mishnah said that ketanim are obligated, that's talking about an older child, shegil chinuch. Or says, but wait a second, you're telling me the pasuk is coming to be marbe din de rabbanon? The whole din of chinuch on the child is a din de rabbanon. Kadosh shegei l'chinuch mid rabbanon ho. So we have a pasuk to be marbe din de rabbanon. Shmuel says, you're right. No, mid rabbanon. The whole din is a din de rabbanon. Uchinuch ukra asmachta biyamhu. And we only use this pasuk over here as an asmachta. It's not the real drasha. What is the real drasha? So we had it previously called. Previously came to teach us that you couldn't, according to one opinion, that you couldn't use a sukkah gezula, but you could use a sukkah that was she'ula. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah where we said we seem to have a ma'isa listar. We said that the child doesn't need his mother. Only at that point does he reach the age of chinuch. And then we brought down Shammai, built a sukkah over his daughter-in-law who just gave birth and had a little tiny baby. But before we get to that stira, we have to explain what is the age of a child that he doesn't need his mother. So, hechidami katan sheino tzarech lima. What is the age of the child that doesn't need his mother? So, I'm the Rav Yanei, they send this message to Rav Yanei. It means kol shenif nif, the child can go to the bathroom to defecate, the ein imo mekan kato. And his mother doesn't have to go wipe his behind. He's able to wipe himself. He has to go into the bathroom after defecating. So therefore, in this situation, the child no longer his mother. That's what they say in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Rabbi Shimon had a different interpretation as to what is the age of a kohen sheino tzorach imo. He says, kol sheneo mishinoso. If a child wakes up in the middle of the night from its sleep, veino kari imo. He doesn't call out to his mother. Mark questions this and says, really? Is that true? The imo gidolim nami karu. Children at any age can sometimes call out for their mother. A 12-year-old kid who wakes up has a nightmare could call out to his mother. An adult could call out to his mother if he has a nightmare. So kol sheneo mishinoso, you're telling me even older children, ima gedolim nami karu, even your older children, well above the age of chinuch, or even that are above the age of bar mitzvah, might call out to their mother. Is that your criteria? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo, ema, what you have to say is as follows. The kol sheneyar, if a child gets up from his sleep, ve'eno kari ima, he doesn't persistently, incessantly call out for his mother. That child who persistently, incessantly calls out to his mother is not yet at the age of chinuch. He doesn't understand that mom will be there in a moment. He just keeps on calling out, mommy, 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 mommy. So that child hasn't reached the age of chinuch. But if the child just calls out once, mommy, he knows his mother will come. When she gets a chance to come, he's comforted by that idea. So then the child has reached the age of chinuch. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Maisa v'yoda kalos v'chuli, and says, Maisa l'istar, this is what I mentioned a moment ago, you're bringing me a Maisa that seems to contradict what you just said. That's not the star. We normally bring a Maisa to support what we just said. So Gemara says, as I alluded to when we read the Mishnah, Chisur Mechsa v'alchitani, there are words missing over here from the Mishnah, and this should be inserted. V'shamay machber. It should have said in the Mishnah, after we said that a katan who's not reached the age of chinuch is patur min hasukkah, but Shammai himself, Shammai Azokin, was machber. And Maisa Shoyu, or Maisa Nami, the older Colossus Shami Azokain, or Piches as a Maziva, Vesichich, Alamita, Bishul HaKotan. This happened to his own daughter in law. She just gave birth. She couldn't leave the bed. She was in bed with a little baby, and he created a sukkah where she was sleeping. He put a crack in the ceiling, made a skylight in the ceiling, and he put Schach over there in order that this little child, this little baby boy, should be Yotzi the mitzvah of sukkah. Next Mishnah. Kol Shivas Hayamim, for all 7 days of Sukkis, in Eretz Yisrael, there's only 7 days of Sukkis, then you have Shmini Atzeres, or the Moses Sukkosu Kevel Beisu Aroi, a person has to make his Sukkah his primary dwelling place, and his house becomes the transitory, temporary type of place, his temporary dwelling place during Sukkis. Now, Yardu Gishamim, the famous question of it, Rachman Lassan, it rains on Sukkis, so Me'em Asaymut Alfanos, when are you allowed to go into the house and not stay in the Sukkah? People are potter from the Sukkah at the Mitztayim, as we've already learned. And at what point do we consider somebody mitztayer? So it says, Misha Tisra Hamikva, if the dish that you're eating from is going to be ruined by the rain. So then, if you have cereal or soup and the rain is coming in and it is ruining it, so then you're allowed to go into the house. That's called mitztayer. And in general, this concept of rain is Moshalo Moshal Lamaha Dovidome. So what is it comparable if it rains on Sukkis? It's comparable to Le'evet Shabo Limzo Kostra Abo, the Shofach Lokiton upon him. A servant comes to go give his master a glass of wine, and the master goes and takes the cup of wine and throws it back in the face of the servant. So therefore, this is analogous to on Sukkis. If we're trying to go out and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being in the Sukkah and he makes it rain, it's as if he's throwing us out of the Sukkah. He's throwing the cup of wine in our face. He doesn't want us to be there. Rav Shechter Shlita has brought down, as well as many other Gedolim, that this really doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. This is only in Eretz Yisrael. It's not normal terrain. Sukkot is a dry season, and therefore, if it rains on Sukkot, that's a simon mishamayim. But if it rains in New York, it always rains in New York. We don't have a wet season, a dry season. So it's highly unlikely that all 7 days of Sukkot or 8 days in Chutz Laretz will go by in New York without it raining. In my lifetime, I don't recall ever a Sukkot that it didn't rain at all sometimes. So therefore, that's not a simon mishamayim. Furthermore, the post can bring down, the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch bring down, that if it was raining in the days before Sukkot, so then it's not a simon. It's only if it was nice and clear in the days before Sukkot, and then it suddenly rains on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a simon min hashamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is displeased with us, and that's when this mashal is applicable. Gemara starts off and brings down the following brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Kol Shivas Hayamim, Adam Oses Sukkosu Keva Ubeso Aroi, just like we had in the Mishnah. The Brisa says that for the 7 days of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, a person makes his Sukkah the primary dwelling place, and his house becomes a temporary dwelling place. Ketzad, how do you demonstrate this? If he has very nice utensils, malo no sukkah, you're going to bring him into the sukkah. If he has matzos, knows if he has very nice covers, very nice blankets, so malo no sukkah, he brings him into the sukkah. Ochel shows him betayel besukkah, and he spends all of his time eating and drinking, and betayel means to spend time in the sukkah. So that is how you demonstrate that the sukkah is now your primary dwelling place as opposed to your house, which is now your temporary dwelling place. Gemara asks, Mino and Mili, how do we know this? So we have another brisa, the Tanur Rabbanan, we have the famous pasuk Teishvu. The pasuk tells us that Basukos Teishu Shivas Yomim, Teishu Ke'en Taduru. So you have to sit in the sukkah the way you sat in the house. Just like in your house, you would do all of these things that we mentioned, so too in the sukkah, you do all of these things that we mentioned. Mikan Amru, the brisa continues and says, Kol Shivas Yomim also Adam Sukkosu Keva, based on right. All 7 days of sukkah, so your house is your temporary place, and the sukkah becomes your permanent dwelling place. Keitzad, how do you do this? Hoyelukayim Noim Malo the sukkah. Matzos knows Malo the sukkah. Ochavishosu Matal Basukkah. So we repeated what we just said in the previous brisa. If you have very nice utensils, you bring them out to the sukkah. If you have nice covers, blankets, etc., you bring them out to the sukkah. If you have something to eat or drink, you drink it and eat it in the sukkah. And you spend time in the sukkah. And here the brisa adds on, umishanein besukkah. You also learn in the sukkah. More questions is, really? Are you supposed to learn in the sukkah? Ini. Oh, Rava tells us, mikra umisna bimetalta. You have to go and learn chumish, mikra, and mishnah, mishnayis. That you learn in the sukkah. Metalta means in the shade, meaning in the sukkah. However, vitanoi, when you're learning gemara, when you're analyzing it in a much higher level, then bar mi metalta. Then you go outside the sukkah. You learn that in your house. You learn that in the base medrash, because you can't concentrate well in the sukkah. So how can you tell me you're supposed to mishanin besukkah? Here you see clearly that if you're doing in-depth learning, so you do that outside the sukkah. Shmuel says, no, lokash, it's not a contradiction. Depends what type of in-depth learning you're talking about. Hobi migras, hobi ayune. The way Rashi understands this is as follows. Klomar, trei gabne shinun heavy. There are two types of learning gemara. Limigras gemara habrur lo kvar. If you chazri go over to daf yomi, vayinu shmaisa tzorech sukkah, vayinu shanin. When we said umishanin besukkah means when you're chazring over stuff, you don't have to go and delve into it in such great detail. You're chazring over the daf yomi, so then you can do that in the sukkah. But when you're learning the daf yomi the first time, if you have to spend time and you need a clarity of mind, then you need to be in a comfortable situation. So the sukkah is not the most comfortable place. So if it's going to impact your ability to learn, so then you learn outside the sukkah. And that's not loch lamaisa. If a person can't learn well, the bottom line is, wherever a person will learn better, that's what we should learn on sukkahs. If you can learn in the sukkah, you're learning the type of thing you're doing, that you don't require intense concentration on. So therefore, if you can do that in the sukkah rather than in the house. Unless, again, if you're mitzvah, then you're potter. But if you can do things or learning like that, that's a relatively easy type of a learning, so then you should do it in the sukkah. But if it's a learning that requires more intense involvement, or you have to keep on going to svarman, it'd be a tirchah, you keep on getting up and going to another sefer, or any type of learning that you would end up doing better in the base medrash, you have a chavrusa, and you learn always in the base medrash. So then, the halacha l'maaseh is that you're allowed to go learn in the base medrash. Again, each person has to understand when is best to learn in the sukkah, and when it's best to learn outside the sukkah in the base medrash, in your house, or with a chavrusa. And that's why there's no stir over here, mishanim besukkah, versus it says that the tanui bar mimetaltala. We turn to Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Where he gives us an example, kihod. Now the gears that we have is rabba bar chama. But in the Besoros HaShas, in Osalef, he brings down that this should be rava, kihod de rava, and rami bar chama. So these two great amarayim, kihavu kaime mekame de Rav Chista, they were learning by Rav Chista, so marate b'gemara b'hadi adade, they would run through the gemara very quickly, b'hadi adade, Rashi says, Masha Shamu Mipiv, they chazed over the shear real quickly, Dover Ploni, that he said, also Dover Ploni Mutter, this is also, this is Mutter, and that they did in the Sukkah. V'adam Ma'ayna B'svar, then they had to go and really delve into it in great depth, as Rashi says, Ma'atamu Shal Dover, V'imesh L'hashiv Klum, is this correct? Do we have to respond to this? Is there some incorrect logic? So they would first go through the Gemara, in a more quicker fashion, and then they would be ma'ayinin. So mistama, in the first part, they would do that in the sukkah. And the second part would have to be ma'ayin, they did that outside the sukkah. Similarly, Omar Rava said, money mishtaya bimetaltla, that the drinking cups that you use, you're allowed to leave them in the sukkah. After you drink with them, you don't have to run to take them out. They're not considered a blight on the sukkah. They're not considered a disgusting thing to have in the sukkah. As opposed to money mechla, Rashi says, these are the karos, after you're done with them, so they are me'usim. Karos l'achash achlu behen, tzorach l'tzion. You have to take them out, because as opposed to the cups, she'ena me'usim, which aren't disgusting, the dirty plates, they are disgusting, so those you have to take out of the sukkah as soon as you're done eating with them. Again, not the second that you finish eating, but you should take them out of the sukkah. You don't leave them in the sukkah. Chatzva, what is chatzva? Rashi says, kat shel cheres. This is an earthenware utensil. Sheshovim amayim, that you normally use to draw water. So you're bringing in a pitcher like that into the sukkah. V'shachil, bar, and also the shachil, that is, Rashi says, delishalates. That's a wooden type of a jug that you're going to collect the water from. These you don't leave in the sukkah. Bar mi metaltala. So you take the water that you get from them and you pour it into cups and you bring the cups into the sukkah, but you don't bring those types of serving dishes that are not nice into the sukkah. Ushraga a flame, a lamp, that you cannot put in the sukkah. However, others say, others say you shouldn't bring it into the sukkah, it should be outside the sukkah. That's not a disagreement. These two opinions are under different situations. You can bring a lamp into a large sukkah because it won't cause a conflagration, it won't cause a fire. But in a very small sukkah, don't bring a flame in there because it's too risky, it may cause a fire. Others explain it that if it's a type of a lamp that is going to be foul-smelling or malodorous or in some way disgusting, so that you don't bring into the sukkah. But that would apply really more to a small sukkah because it's a small sukkah and the problem with it is going to be more evident. But if it's a large sukkah, so even if it's a little bit malodorous or it's a little bit not nice, so you put it in a corner of that larger sukkah and you can get the light and still not be bothered by it. So those are two different interpretations in how we understand the lamp and the sukkah. Halacha l'maaseh, it's brought down that anything that would be a risk, obviously don't put it into the sukkah. If it's dangerous, obviously don't bring it into the sukkah. With this, we conclude today's shiur.